Time is running out. We live in a community of 14,000 people in Cranbrook, 5,000 in Jordan Springs and 1,000 in Castlereagh, I checked. But there are about 200 people at St. Tom's. That's only 1% of the community. And there are people in our community and the world at large who need Jesus. They're ready to hear the gospel right now, and we need to reach them before it's too late. In the passage we just heard read, the workers point out that there is plenty of time to engage in the harvest. There's 4 months, they say, yet till we have harvest time. We don't need to rush. There'll be time for work when harvest time comes. They want to put off the reaping till a later date. They're rebuked for this and reminded that the fields are ready for harvest. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 to 3, you can open that up if you want to, we are reminded of the imminence of Jesus' return. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labour pains come upon a pregnant woman. And again in Matthew 24, verse 36, it says, but about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. It's pretty clear that the workers in this passage are wrong. There is not plenty of time for the harvest. There is not plenty of time to tell people about the gospel. Jesus could return next week. He could return tomorrow. And he could return when I'm finished talking, or before. And all the wheat that hasn't been harvested will be wasted. All the people who haven't been harvested for God will go to their deaths, miss out on eternal life with God. We have the great privilege to be involved in God's work of redemption. We should be eager to live up to this. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 14 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Now, Jesus is not saying that we are ultimately responsible for the salvation of others. However, he has deigned to give us the privilege of playing a part in his plan for the salvation of our community and those whom we come in contact with. Those whom God has planned to save will be saved, but he has chosen us as individuals at Tom's and as the worldwide church to be the instruments by which people hear about the gospel. Jesus has done all the work of salvation for us by dying as a substitute for humanity and taking the punishment for the world's sins. He will also not leave us alone to do the work of telling people about the gospel. He will give us the wisdom that is necessary and the words we need. In essence, he will work through us for salvation. Jesus clearly tells us that he will be with us and work through us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And in Philippians chapter 2, 12 to 13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. As we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have no need to be afraid of the outcome of our evangelistic efforts. Jesus is also not claiming that all people will be saved if we just tell them about the gospel. There are countless examples throughout the Bible where people told others about God, his will, or the gospel, and have been rejected, have been persecuted, punished, or plain old ignored. As I've already mentioned, the truest work of evangelism and salvation is the working of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the non-believer. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. Those who are saved are those who hear the word and believe it. The parable of the sower illustrates this idea well. I forgot to write down the passage reference for that one, but I'd get you to read that for yourself later. It basically lists the different ways people may respond to the gospel when they hear it. They may hear but not have the word implanted and never come to faith. They may believe for a time but fall away the first time they face difficulty. They may be drawn away by the pleasures of this life, or they may hear the word, cling to it, and persevere. So what might this passage mean for us as a church and individuals? You come across people in your day-to-day life when you walk down the street. They are a field. They are the kind of field mentioned in the passage anyway. How many of you talk to strangers? It's surprising how easy it is to strike up a conversation with strangers. In line at the shops, when you take your kids to the park, when you're on the bus, when you order an Uber. Do any of us even take the opportunity to talk to people in these situations? I have to confess that I don't. And we don't spread the gospel in those situations if we don't talk to people. There will be rejection, but as pickup artists say, if you get rejected 10 times but succeed on the 11th try, you succeeded. There are also lots of workplaces with low Christian representation. People are mindful of this, especially, I guess, young people, the youth, as they're thinking about where they'll go with their life. When we think of our careers, do we think whether we can contribute to the advancement of the gospel in the most effective way? Workforces like health and policing have an underrepresentation of Christians, and I'm sure there are others. These workplaces can be viewed as a mission field. The employees of these industries are people that need to hear the gospel. There are a wide range of people in Cranbrook and Jordan Springs. There are people of different socioeconomic backgrounds, people of different cultures. This diversity of people is not necessarily reflected in membership at TOMS. It's natural human nature to do things in a way that works for us, that fits our culture or our lifestyle. And that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But if we want to reach the world, and Cranbrook in particular, we need to look at ways we can reach those people who are of a different background to us. We need to be salt and light to the world and make our church a place where people of various backgrounds will feel welcome. This will start with making an effort to embrace people who are different, who walk through the door, which I think we do pretty well at, but we need to keep it up. James 2:2 says, "Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" We need to keep being welcoming to all people. Tying this to the fields idea, we also need to make the effort to reach the various cultural and economic groups in our area. This will take many forms, and I guess we'll have to think about this, especially maybe as soft comes up. It could be community service, door knocking, or even linking in with established community groups and organisations. An example of the kind of approach that will enable us to reap the best harvest and the full gamut of people who live in our communities is, I think, found in a pharmacist Haley and I met in Penrith a couple of weeks ago. We were at the checkout buying vitamins or something, and she just started a gospel conversation with us. Very friendly, very open. She had no idea we were Christians at the time, explaining the gospel clearly to us with no fear of rejection or complaint about the store. If we can just adopt a little of this lady's approach, we will be able to spread the gospel to people of all colours, backgrounds, and income brackets. In a nutshell, this passage is referring to our tendency to put things off because we think we have time. We live solipsistic lives that we assume are not finite. We think we have all the time in the world, or at least 80 years. And if we don't do it, hey, someone else will continue after I die. But the reality is, these people need Jesus now. They need him to take away their sins so they can begin to live for him now. Remember that God has done most of the work already, and will continue the work through us if we take on the responsibility to spread the gospel to all men.